This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So you know that basketball, one of the ways that it has gone from 1981 tape delay championships at midnight to what we see in front of us now is Magic Bird. Feed your stars, make your stars a big deal. Do it in a way that's so different than football that I think there is no way, legitimately no way, for Patrick Mahomes to ever be the national and international star that LeBron James is, even if he is the best ever at his position, winning championships and championships. Tom Brady has won plenty of championships. He is not the star that LeBron James is. So in the basketball playoffs, already in the Eastern Conference, I think the nation at large is disappointed that the Miami Heat have ruined the storylines for the nation, where they wanted to see if Giannis could get past the Celtics and then if Giannis could get past LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard. The Nuggets are also in a position to screw up all the storylines here and have both conference finals not have all those soap opera elements that you want. We've talked before about the only times you've seen LeBron James look scared on a basketball court is A, when J.J. Barea was guarding him in the post, and B, when Kawhi Leonard checked into a game in the finals. He looked over his shoulder from the free throw line and saw Kawhi checking back in and cursed in a way that was obvious to everybody. The thing that I wanted to talk to you about is sort of, when have you last seen, as we have a game seven tonight, Nuggets and Clippers, and the Miami Heat begin their series against the Boston Celtics. When have you last seen something akin to what I'm about to say, which is one of the final four basketball teams remaining in the NBA playoffs after today will be a team that A, Colin Cowherd, when he was talking about it, said couldn't shoot, was just simply totally uninformed, didn't know what he was talking about when discussing a team. And Stephen A. Smith, it wasn't that long ago, was on the radio and he was just clearly Googling the roster while doing the analysis. And that's one of the final four teams remaining. You tell me in the sport the last time that you've seen something like that, where the national, like, Stephen A. Smith knows basketball and he was clearly Googling the roster while doing his analysis, saying this guy can shoot and this guy can shoot.
But are you asking the last time the NBA had teams in the conference finals that not many people picked or not many people know about?
What I'm asking you is, when's the last time you saw a team where the national media was so ill-informed about what it was talking about that you could flatly refute what Colin Cowherd was saying, which is simply not factual, just empirically wrong, and where you've got an NBA expert like Stephen A. Smith, an undisputed NBA expert like Stephen A. Smith, having to Google a roster where a team is such a surprise that they're making it to the Final Four as a five seed, and furthermore, they don't have Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, there's precedent for a team being in the Final Four and the national media sort of making it up as they go along. Travel back with me to a time all the way back to last year where a Canadian team won the NBA title.
They had a star, though, that was indisputably Kawhi, a star, a finals MVP.
Even before Kawhi, they made it to an Eastern Conference Finals, and we were all trying to convince ourselves whether or not Bismack Biyombo was worth the money against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They did this all the time north of the border.
Now, I know the media knows Damian Lillard, but did the Blazers get to the Final Four Western Conference Finals a year ago, too?
Yeah, it was like a bizarre sweep where they had like led most of the time, I think.
It was weird.
But still got swept.
Yes. I'm wondering if the country at large is interested in this Miami-Boston series, or because the Lakers, if they play Miami or Boston, are going to have the best two players on the court, if people are looking at it and saying either one of those teams is going to get steamrolled in the finals, no matter who advances.
I think the country is always going to be interested if a team from Boston is involved, especially in the NBA, especially if it's the Celtics, especially with the prospects of perhaps a Celtics-Lakers NBA final. I think that will always get the country's interest. Down here, I mean, it's going to be all Miami. No one else wants Miami. No one wants Miami getting in the way of Celtics-Lakers. Nobody.
So that's the same kind of storyline? You're saying that basically the Heat and the Nuggets exist to screw up everyone's fun?
Yes.
They are Wisconsin basketball and football. They just exist to get in the way of everybody, and you don't want them playing in the final rounds.
I'm kind of jaded. Obviously, I'm a Heat homer. I kind of think that Jimmy Butler sort of went a little bit of from famous to like infamous because of his decision, and it was such a shock move, and he's like hated by so many major markets at this point. He's hated by Chicago, Philadelphia, Minnesota. So I think, and now he's got this national ad campaign, maybe as people look for reasons as to why they're any good. It's why we're making Jamal Murray like the poster boy for everything Nuggets, because we can't explain Jokic to anybody. I think maybe he's becoming a sort of national star that might get eyes, but I think you're right. Ultimately, we exist to ruin everybody's fun.
I love that national ad campaign is now the symbol for whether or not you matter, as if Baker Mayfield doesn't have national ad campaign on it.
But you've noticed what's happening with Jamal Murray. It's like, oh, we can market him. So now all of a sudden Jamal Murray's in all the graphics, and poor Jokic, who's been that team's best player for a couple of years now, is in the backseat, bizarrely so.
But ask yourself this question. If you're running this network, what matchup do you want in the NBA Finals?
You want Celtics, Lakers.
That's it.
I mean, LeBron.
Or Celtics, Clippers.
LeBron against Miami is not terrible in terms of
story.
It's not terrible in terms of storylines. Like, let's go back a little bit, because I think what's going to end up getting resuscitated is I'm going to remind you that when LeBron left Miami, Miami kind of felt that he was screwing up all their free agent plans by stringing them along and not allowing them to get Pau Gasol and everyone else. That there was the feeling that LeBron was actively trying to sabotage the place that he was leaving because he didn't want them to compete against him in the East. Like, all that stuff is going to gurgle right back to the surface.
Oh, there are great stories to be told. Even if it's Doc Rivers against the Miami Heat, you have an old rivalry to play into. It's really the Nuggets that can't advance. This cannot happen. Because we've been looking forward to Clippers-Lakers
Nation.
Imagine Nuggets Heat in the finals.
I think the nation is looking at what we're talking about right now, and they're saying this is Homer Miami being self-involved, that the Heat are the Nuggets, that the Heat are absolutely the Nuggets, just they are here to foul things up.
Maybe. But I can tell you, in a divided America, perhaps the most divided we've ever been, a nation is uniting against the Denver Nuggets tonight.
Greg Cody, good work that segment. You will hear from Greg Cody at some point during the show. He will sound like death warmed over and reheated.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
He's never sounded worse than he sounds today. His voice feels like it's running a marathon on its hands and knees.
Right. I mean, that was earlier. Perhaps, you know, as the day wears on, perhaps it gets better and smoother.
Greg, do you have something here? Would you like to give the audience a little bit, a little taste of that Cody diseased larynx situation?
I actually think
I was
Lakers
wrong.
And Heat are an excellent final that TV will eat up and that people will eat up. And you're right. My voice has never sounded worse.
I feel like we should appreciate Greg's voice today, because for sure there's been a time in the past where, like, this is the worst he's ever sounded, but we were wrong, because today is the worst, which means in the future there will be another worst, so we should just appreciate what it is today.
Because it might be gone tomorrow. I mean,
usually in the chat, because we're doing a lot of this via Zoom, someone says, you know, when they have something, you know, Sugach just said, hey, Greg has something. He put up his hand. I actually fear that Greg might actually have something.
So you guys love to play fantasy. I am not a fantasy player. If you are a fantasy player, you end up accidentally almost being more informed about football than you might otherwise be. Peyton Barber is going to join us here in about 15 minutes. And my question to you is, as a fantasy player, because I don't know this world at all, when he scores two touchdowns for Washington to beat Philadelphia by 10 points, is he the big surprise of the fantasy weekend? Is there someone else who's a bigger surprise than Peyton Barber when it comes to someone you didn't expect very much from, and the next thing you know, you're getting fantasy points on
I'm certain Barber's one of these surprises. I'm not certain if he was the surprise. It also depends on whether or not you had Peyton Barber in your lineup. Some people may have had Barber and not put him in the lineup because they were worried that he wouldn't get enough touches.
Oh, you were waiting to see who would step up amongst the Washington football team backs. Remember, Geis and Adrian Peterson gone. It was begging for someone to step up. Peyton Barber stepped up. He joins us next.
Yes, there it is. Also coming up in just seconds, Billy returns with his useless sound montage. Billy, give me the dungeon you've spent time in here. Usually, if you're not familiar with this, poor Billy, and he deserves it because his stories are yammering, but poor Billy gets stuck and trapped in these press conference situations after football games, which are just dreadful. I legitimately feel for him because it's an awful slog of a job. So tell me about your experience heading into here week one's useless sound montage, Billy.
Dan, it's one of 18, I think, or 19 this year, and I hope that it's, you know, I'm not looking forward to the rest, but one down and, you know, we keep battling.
Billy, I have a question. Obviously, we're in a pandemic right now, so press conferences have changed a little bit. Any challenges with the new press conference setup with Zoom and whatnot?
You know, we take the challenges head on one day at a time. We keep our nose to the grindstone and we just get through it. That's all we can do. Do our jobs.
Who are the stars? You've missed Andrew Luck very much. We should deem this the Andrew Luck Memorial Useless Sound Montage. Who are the stars this year? The voices that we need to be looking for as we play this useless sound montage.
Well, it's early on, Dan, so who knows who's going to rise to the occasion this season. But Mitch Trubisky has stepped out ahead of the others so far, I think. And, of course, our friend Mike Tomlin is always there.
A staple.
All right, excellent. Let's go ahead and play it for the masses. Another useless sound montage.
Round one, we've lost round one, and we'll get ready for round two.
I don't care what y'all talk about, man. We're gonna do what we do. You know, try to win one game a week. It's all we can do.
It's a new year. We all have a clean slate, and we're not looking back on the past. I'm not looking over my shoulder. I'm just gonna take advantage of the opportunity ahead, and it feels good. It's exciting.
At the end of the day, it was, hey, worry about what we can control. Create our own energy, you know, focus on the job that we have to do.
You have to try to expect the unexpected.
I'm a believer that everything happens for a reason, one way or another.
Sometimes you make them, sometimes you don't.
You appreciate the ebbs and flows.
I control my own destiny.
Every game matters.
We clearly have the right formula as far as how we're playing.
Wait a minute.
And then we keep losing it.
We've been equipped the whole time to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And so my mindset isn't about the third tackle anymore. There's a point to this.
It's awesome to have our quarterback back and see him do the things that he does and in the manner in which he does it.
What was the atmosphere like in the stadium without fans there? Can you compare it to anything else that you've experienced in your football life?
Practice. I knew we had something special from the day I walked into this building.
Everybody got game balls. And I'm going to see if I can get hundreds of game balls to pass out to some of our season ticket holders.
It's just a matter, again, keeping our head down and moving forward.
You know, keep our head down and continue to strive.
We just got to go in with our heads up and be ready to learn.
You know, that's the guy that's got to know for the end zone.
Especially when you have a 12-point lead and you get your guts taken out.
Hey, listen, I don't know a lot about all that stuff. Yes, it's all true.
They're going to be a handful. They're going to be a force, no question about it.
We all have so much belief in each other, you know. Whether it's me and them or them and me.
You know, it was a you know, a mesh pattern type concept, and you know, with you know, crisscrossers, and
it's fun to watch when you see two guys on the same page go out and be able to execute.
You know, they did what they did and they executed.
It's a game of execution, and obviously they, you know, made more plays than we did.
When you decide to be a coach, it's not going to be roses every day.
It's infectious when you see him out there playing his tail off and running his tail off.
He's worked his tail off to now win this job and have an opportunity to prove a lot of people right.
We had some good drives and we had some really poor drives.
There's more meat on the bone.
You know, once that momentum starts going one way, it's hard to stop it.
I would say just the momentum.
Definitely lost some momentum, and you know, we didn't make the plays we needed to make.
I truly believe that it was just a part of my journey and something that I had to deal with in order to get better.
He is a tough son of a buck.
What can anybody do to slow down the Chiefs after what we saw?
Hope that Patrick Mahomes stubs his toe.
Unless he just, for lack of a better term, poops the bed, you know what I'm saying, on when the lights are on, I feel that this guy is going to, you know, be a good football player.
Billy, why was Doc Rivers in there? An excellent return of the useless sound montage.
Just felt like he needed to be
okay,
in there.
Okay, very good. Very good. You can put whoever you want to in
there. I love John Gruden. I mean, I really do. I don't care what their record is, but when you talk about game balls for the fans and just holding your ear up to the entire fan base and then to be able to get that victory after a team has taken your guts out. I love him.
If you hold that hundreds of game balls, are they still game balls?
Greg, you were even better that segment than you were in the first segment. I salute you. Peyton Barber is going to be on with us here in about 10 minutes. I want you guys to all imagine something. I know we're used to the phrase, but I want you to imagine that you work in a place where your boss calls you into the office and that boss says that he or she needs something from you. And what he or she needs from you is, I need you to expect the unexpected. You go back to your desk and you do what? Like, you just have to sit there and cry, right? Because there is no way to do that, right?
I might leave. I mean,
you just have to go home crying because what do you mean, boss? I need to expect the unexpected. If it ceases to be unexpected if I expect it. Peyton Barber is going to join us next. This is a guy who you root for, his story. We'll get to him in a second. Peyton Barber is about to join us. It was good to see him score 2 touchdowns on Sunday, if you know a little bit about his story. But before we get to him, I'm sorry, Christine, we interrupted you.
And finally, data from 2 ground-based telescopes have discovered small quantities of phosphine gas in the clouds of Venus. There are no known non-biological mechanisms of making the gas on Venus, so it may be produced by alien microbes, which would be signs of life on the planet. Interesting. Also, if being large enough to have your own gravitational pull, full of gas, is a sign of alien life, right. Might I suggest that scientists position telescopes toward the Clevelander
get out of here. Christine Lisi and Peyton Barber, after his success, Peyton Barber is introduced with the kazoo. You have really reached the height of sports, my friend, when you are scoring 2 touchdowns in front of no fans during a pandemic, and then big ESPN welcomes you in with a kazoo. But congratulations, Peyton. If you don't know, undrafted, okay, Stugatz, signed a 2-year deal, $3 million. Doesn't sound like much in the realm of sports, but I'm sure it's a good deal for him because he comes from some financial struggles. So thank you, Peyton, for being on with us, and congratulations on your success.
Oh man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
What can you tell us about your journey to get here? Because you had to grind it out, man. Like, this is a real success story.
Yeah, man, it's just like what you said. It's been a journey. It's been a grind. Being undrafted and, you know, just coming to play that I came up. And hasn't been easy, but, you know, guys are taking you through it, so.
Well, where was the moment where you were thinking to yourself, man, I'm really hanging on to the fringes of the league here? Like, where do you point to? Because the undrafted stuff is so hard to climb over in that sport.
I'd say my rookie year was probably just the toughest year. You know, being undrafted, not knowing really what to expect, you know, and then going through a full NFL season. Just figuring out the ropes of things and stuff like that. So
you were featured. HBO's Vice did in 2017 an end of amateurism story about some lawsuits against the NCAA, and you were chronicled in that, you know, saying that basically for financial reasons you couldn't continue your education. What can you tell us about participating in that story?
Yeah, man, I think it was a good thing, you know, just bringing light to, you know, what goes on in college football and, you know, just let people see what college athletes go through on a day-to-day basis. So,
For those who didn't see it, can you explain to them sort of, you know, I mean, how does one go to college with the hopes of their family on their shoulders? And your mother at the time, I don't know if it was at the time or earlier, your mother was homeless, correct?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up, I was homeless off and on from the time I was 7 to really about 14. But what I didn't know was while I was in high school, you know, I went to high school in a pretty nice area. So, you know, my mom was working three jobs just to keep me in that school district. But, you know, I didn't know that she was still struggling like that. And she kind of kept that from me and my sister. So, I got to college and, you know, she, got in a series of car accidents and wasn't able to really work after that. So, you know, that's kind of how she became homeless in a sense, bouncing around from, family members to family members' house, friend to friend's house. Yeah, so, you know, it was tough seeing her like that. And, you know, we had a conversation one night and she, was telling me that she was getting bit by bed bugs. She wasn't complaining or anything. She was just telling me what was going on, you know, what they're in, where she was staying at. And, you know, that's kind of where I made up my decision to, you know, hey, I think it's time to kind of see what I can do at the next level.
How did she keep that from you?
Honestly, I really don't know. you know, being a high schooler, I'm so caught up in other things, school and football and stuff like that. You know, I never really. My mom, she's a great woman, and she does a great job of keeping stuff. So,
I mean, because it's crazy. So she's working three jobs, and you wanted to keep going to school because, for those who don't know, Peyton Barber with us, the kind of story that you root for, as I mentioned, not only undrafted, but while you're at Auburn, right? I don't know whether you were diagnosed at Auburn or not, but where along the path did you find out about your attention deficit hyperactivity disorder?
So I found out about that grade school, I was told that I was dyslexic. I went through a series of tests my freshman year of college, and that's where I was told that I was dyslexic and stuff like that. So, you know, I always knew that, like, I read kind of slow and things weren't kind of normal as far as to with me reading, but I just never really knew why.
How hard was it to take classes with that?
Oh, I mean, it was difficult, you know, but at the same time, it was crazy. You know, I was in special ed classes until my senior year of high school. So, you know, it's what I go through on a day-to-day basis is really, you know, nothing, you know, so.
Can you explain to us when you mentioned that in your teens that you were bouncing around or homeless during certain periods? What was happening there? Like how disorienting was that?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it was normal. You know, that's something that I had just grown accustomed to. I'm so young and stuff like that I had really just thought that that's how everybody else lived. And it really wasn't until, I guess, high school that I noticed that, okay, you know, things are a little different. But, you know, that's just what fuels me and feeds me. So,
how much relief was there in a 2-year, $3 million contract, Peyton? Like that I don't know whether that ends up feeling like the finish line or a destination, but it certainly has to be a source of great joy to go from the things you're talking about to, you know, being able to, you know, have a decent amount of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a great sense of joy. You know, I have been in the league 4 years before that. So, you know, I've been doing a great job with saving my money before that. And then being with Tampa, having them tender me, you know, signing a little deal like that definitely helped that as well. So,
Peyton, after the Sunday you just had, do you find this a bizarre interviewing tactic by my co-host Dan here? Just the path he's going down here. Honestly,
no, I mean, not really. I mean, man, it's 2020. We're in a bizarre time. So.
I mean, I want people to know his story because these guys are so often faceless, okay? Right. They're wearing masks. They're disposable in football. His story is an unbelievable story. So I want you to be able to share the joy with him.
I am sharing the joy with him. Perhaps it could have been two less questions and maybe on to, like, how did it feel playing in front of no fans
or
something
like that? All
right, go
ahead. Okay, go ahead and ask him that one.
I mean, you took it to pay dirt twice.
Go ahead.
Peyton, how did it feel playing in front of no fans? It was weird, right?
Yeah, it was different. It was more so like a scrimmage. But at the NFL level.
You cracked him open, Stugatz. Congratulations.
I'm like, telling you.
We now have seen his soul. I want to know how cheap you are. How careful are you with your money?
Don't get me wrong. I still have fun and do what I want to do. God's just blessed me to, this is my fifth year in the NFL. So, my first really 2 to 3 really my first 3 years, I was pretty frugal. Didn't really do much. But now, I can kind of do what I want to do in a sense. So,
Chris, what do you have for Peyton Barber?
Peyton, I'm wondering, what's more strange, Dan's questions in this interview or Jameis Winston eating his fingers because he likes the taste of W's?
Good question.
I'm going to say Dan's questions.
Yep, no doubt. Yep, we all felt it.
Peyton, congratulations. Thank you for being on with us, sir. We appreciate it. Cool story.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Real quick, before you go, one more question. When people ask you who you play for, what do you say?
I say the Washington football team.
Very good. He's already a veteran.
Has the other name come out at all, just out of curiosity?
Just any time the other name comes out or no? Just never comes out anymore.
I just kind of trained my brain to say the Washington football team.
Thank you, Peyton. Congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
So Ron McGill is going to join us in about 10 minutes, the animal doctor. If you want to get in with him, 786-456-4837 is the telephone number. And if you were not someone who stayed awake for last night's Titans-Broncos game, I congratulate you for making the wise decision to get some rest instead of watching that. But if you are someone who's been watching football for the last 10 years, you have to be so confused by how Steven Gostkowski can make every kick when he's with the Patriots, and then he goes out there last night for the Titans, and he calls himself embarrassing because he misses 3 field goals and an extra point.
But he made the one that counts, Dan.
Thank you for nothing, Stugatz.
Yep.
So Gostkowski, for his career, is an 87.4% accuracy rate. So in 2013... he didn't miss 3 kicks. In 2014, he didn't miss 3 kicks. In 2015, all he missed was 3 kicks. In 2017, for the Patriots, all he missed was 3 kicks. And then last night, doink, doink, doink. He's walking around the sidelines. He is walking around the sidelines barefoot. And I am so sorry if you bet Titans -3. Chris Cody has raised a freckled arm.
Stayed up for it too. My God.
Oh, you stayed up and watched 16-14? God help you. You stayed up until midnight to watch 16-14.
I did. And I kind of had fantasy. I at least won my fantasy matchup. But God, Gostkowski, make a field goal.
Let's see if we bring in the death warmed over voice of Greg Cody of the Miami Herald.
First words of the day.
He has not said very much, and when he says it, it sounds like really worrisome. Mike, are you in agreement with me on this? Because I just called Greg Cody during a break and said to him, Greg, it's hard to go to you because it's so distracting how bad your voice sounds that people aren't going to hear what you're saying. They're simply going to develop a great concern for their radio or for their digital devices because what sounds like it's coming out of there is something between poison and disease.
It is distracting, and his voice had an opportunity to warm up on the local hour because there hasn't been a lot of Greg Cody on this show, but he is an active, huge part of the local hour. He basically drives it. You would think his voice would warm up by now.
Perhaps the rest he's had this hour has made it better.
Okay, so let's see. We will find out together here. Gostkowski, how do you explain something like that? Go seasons without missing that many kicks.
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.